I want to go to Resolution M, which is packet page
31.
Yes, thank you. Resolution M, adopting a report of the Library Structural Deficit Work Group and extending thanks to all who contributed to the report. This is ID number 4338, and I so move.
And I'll let Mike Lane second that. Discussion, presentation. Joe?
Well, Susan? I can at least get us started, and Susan is here, and there are several members of the legislature who are on the work group that prepared this report. I don't think I have to read this for you. It's in the packet. I suspect you've taken a look at it, so I don't need to go verbatim or anything like that. But maybe we can capture some of the high points in here, including the fact that we really identified the structural deficit as a problem in last year's budget cycle. We saw it coming. We knew that something was going to have to be done in anticipation of a deficit that wasn't getting smaller. In fact, it was going to grow larger over time. So we did some things in the 2013 budget, including a pretty significant increase in our target allocation, but also said we need to come together with a work group, one of our new favorite things to do, a work group that pulled together the talents and insights of a number of people, including several legislators, Susan and her staff, members of the library board, a couple of our staff, to take a hard look at the situation at the library and try to come up with recommendations about what we should do. As you've seen in the report, the deficit that exists right now is in the neighborhood of $400,000. And when we say structural deficit, it simply means that recurring expenditures exceed predictable recurring revenues by that amount of money. It's about $400,000. And that is expected to grow over time. When we look through the finances of the library, we found a number of things, and some are very obvious. You know it. Library budget is right now very, very lean. We didn't see any obvious areas where we can make spending cuts without having what we've described as a disproportionately adverse effect on library operations. The library has stepped up over the past few years, and we have said we are going to cut your allocation, and we did. The library has stepped up, and they've made significant cuts to the operations, specifically a 15% reduction in their workforce that's occurred over the last few years. We believe that personnel cuts, there couldn't be any more, that they've really hit a limit on what they can do with respect to reducing personnel. They've maximized, although they always try to improve, but they have certainly gotten a lot of volunteer hours from good-hearted people in the community that have committed the equivalent of about 5 person years every year to the operation already. The labor contracts at the library are expiring, did expire at the end of 2012, so that's going to continue to put pressure on the budget. And in spite of all those challenges, the library itself has maintained very high standards of quality, which is really a tribute to management and staff and the board of the library. As you know, it's a heavily used resource in the community, and those usage levels continue to rise year after year. It's a part of our economic development portfolio. Businesses who look at locating here or growing here take stock of what we offer in the form of a library that's open to the community. I guess the last thing I note in terms of the findings, and it's important, in a lot of places when you look at your library and ask what else can be done to help address some financial challenges, you say we should increase philanthropic giving. But when you look at what's already secured in the way of philanthropic giving in this library and the combination of the Friends and the Foundation, it's really a remarkable amount of giving that occurs already. I'm looking for the number. It's $300,000 or $400,000, I think, Susan.
About $400,000.
About $400,000. The entire books and materials budget is now supported by the Friends and the Foundation. The county doesn't contribute that at all. So we didn't. We really didn't find any silver bullet to address their immediate problems. We've identified the situation at the library not as an expenditure problem, but as a revenue problem. that efforts have been made to reduce expenses, and there simply aren't enough revenues to be able to adequately address what is occurring at the library. In terms of recommendations, all we had available to us in the near term, at least, were conventional recommendations. We looked to the property tax, which is the primary source of support for the library, as needing to be adjusted over the next several years. We've recommended that the county increase its target, as we call it, allocation, by at least $100,000 a year over the next 3 years. We've recommended that the library nearly exhaust its own reserves, bringing them down to $75,000 over the next couple of years, so that they will contribute to the ongoing operations of the library, including their using their own reserves, and that whatever can't be covered through those two sources needs to be covered through the application of county reserves over the next few years as we build up our target contributions. There are a number of other recommendations in terms of near-term-ish ideas, including the way we look at calculating the target for the library. When we do our own targets for departmental spending, we adjust a department's budget by things they can't control, specifically negotiated salary increases, fringe benefit increases, or so forth, and then we make cuts from that. In the case of the library, we don't do that first-step adjustment. We don't raise them up and then bring them down by the across-the-board cut. We simply make the across-the-board cut to them. So there is a disproportionate negative impact on them by treating them differently, basically, in the way we start the budget process. And we've suggested making some changes in that. We've recommended that the library looks to some other communities, the town and the city, for additional contributions. The final recommendation here, beyond the near-term financial idea of property taxes and reserves, is that we really can't stop with the work that's been done by this work group, that the effort needs to continue, and it needs to be perhaps at an even higher level, where as we look at the strategic plan of the library, which is a very good one, I know that Susan has distributed to everybody here, it's a very good strategic plan. And what we've recommended in this work group report is that now we need to sit down with a group of people and discuss how a strategic fiscal plan can be put in place that matches that strategic vision for the library, specifically the development of a sustainable source of revenue that doesn't exist now. And that, again, takes a very high level of effort, and we've recommended that over the course of the next year that effort be undertaken. So I hope that summarizes this report. It doesn't leave too much out because, the work group came together a number of times over a period of months, looked very deeply into both revenues and expenses and plans and so forth, and has arrived what we think is a reasonable set of recommendations for the legislature, but a recognition that the work needs to go on to keep looking at, again, a sustainable fiscal structure.
Thank you, Joe. And before I go to Susan, I want to point out that to Nancy that from TCAT that I said I would go to TCAT resolution first. And sorry, Nancy. Okay. And at the bottom of packet page 33, the beginning of the memo and the report itself, the members of the task force are named, and I want to recognize them publicly. Library Director Susan Curry. And board members, Aloja Arwelli, thank you very much, Bruce Ryan, Cynthia Nicholson, and county legislators Michael Lane, Pat Pryor, and Peter Stein, and Joe Mariana and Kevin Sutherland from county staff. I think we owe you all a great deal of thanks. This is an important study that was done, and I thank all of you for the work that's gone into it. And with that, Susan, would you like to say anything about this?
I would like to say thank you as well. I'm deeply appreciative of the consideration, the amount of time that this working group spent. We did really look at everything in detail, and I'm very appreciative of the recommendations. I think they offer us a real opportunity to engage with the community. And actually the Board of Trustees and the Foundation Board of Directors have all had an opportunity to discuss this report a number of times. and we've begun to develop a strategy for that recommendation because we believe it's a really sound one. So thank you for all for the consideration.
Thank you, Susan. Pam.
Yes, I think this is a very important work that was done by this group, and I too thank you. When I first came to Ithaca in the early to mid 60s, I remember being rather shocked that here was a community of the many academic, two colleges. Cornell's library system is one of the top library systems in the country. And that the library, the county library, the public library that for the community use was really in sad shape. And I didn't understand, and I still don't understand how that came to be. But it seemed as if with the move and the new building that there was a new effort on the part of the community to upgrade the library. Because it is, as Joe says, it's a very important part of our community. It really is who we are in part by as a community, as a county, and so I think it's important that we pay attention to this problem and solve it. And I really appreciate all of this work, and will do whatever I can to help move it forward.
Any other discussion? Mike? Carol?
I'd like to say thanks to certainly Susan and Joe for the work they did on this report. I serve as the liaison to the TCPL, Tompkins County Public Library, and been very impressed. They've had a lot of turnover on their board of trustees. We have a new chair of that board who is Aloysia Arwella. And I've been so impressed by his leadership. I had the privilege of attending a meeting, I guess it was last week, a joint meeting of the full library board and the full foundation board. And the foundation board is terrific, too. They've had a lot of changes. They're taking these issues very seriously. Aloysia said to them and set the tone, and I was very impressed. He said, what kind of library do we want? Are we happy with just the status quo and just let it be okay? Or do we want a 21st century library that stays up with things, that serves the community, that's out in the forefront? We don't need to look very far away to see what other communities have done with their libraries, such as Broome and Erie counties, where they've slashed and burned to save money, closing branches, cutting down on staff. We've certainly had to see some reductions. But I'm really pleased with the recommendation that comes out of this committee's group that says we need to engage our whole community in the next couple of years to say, what do we want and how are we going to get there? A library is a wonderful thing. It's one-third of the educational things that the county does, in my view. I've always said that we have our support for our community college, we have our support for Cornell Cooperative Extension, and we have our public library. And those are the three legs of the stool that is our part of education in a mostly education-oriented community. So I hope that we think about this, that this goes forward, and that we continue to be able to have a great library system in Tompkins County.
Thank you, Mike. Carol.
I'll add my voice to the chorus of those who think that a library is sort of one of the most basic community institutions, that is a symbol and it indicates how a community values itself and its residents. And I think that's really important. I do think there's some history. Pam, you raised the question of the history. And I think that for many years after I came here, the university library was available. You could, any resident of Tompkins County could get a library card and take out books.
In the state schools, they still can. But never in the endowed college.
Yes. Any library, because I kept using it after I graduated. And I think the world has changed, because it now you not only need access to the hard copy materials, but you need access to the electronic materials, and the whole way that those are charged are very different. So the reality is different. So we have to do more. So I support this. The questions that I have about, I'm glad that the task force has come back, and I appreciate all of their work. The question that I have about this has nothing to do with the library per se and this particular resolution tonight. It has to do with questions about, I'm not understanding why we're setting an operational amount now instead of as part of the budget process. And the questions like, is $100,000 a year that we're going to build into this enough? Do we know enough now to set that amount? Should it be $150,000 or $200,000 or $80,000? And if we waited until we were putting in the context of our budget, the additional information we'll have about exactly where our pension money stands, which we now have a little bit more information about what our other needs are, where the sales tax will stand and the property tax, and then to put it in the context of what our other needs are. I mean, all those other things that we talk about, the floods we've had, the needs to fund something related to the living wage, and, I don't know, more on home ownership or human services. There are agencies that we haven't put back in.
Right, and that opportunity will exist, and you're right. It will be a part of the budget discussion. It will be considered in the budget context. The recommendations here are recommendations. And you see that we are recommending that at least $100,000 a year of additional target money be allocated, because we see this growing deficit and believe we need to climb out of it in increments. We don't have the capacity to do it all at once. So the recommendation is a plus $100,000 a year in target each year to whittle it down. You as the legislature have the power of the purse. So at budget time, you can decide that maybe that's not enough. You can increase it. You can decrease it. But again, our recommendation is that we include at least an additional $100,000 a year over the next 3 years, I think it is.
So the question is, when we use the word adopt, that is adopting the recommendations of the report. This is not a vote in our 2014 budget.
No, that's correct.
Which we will do separately.
My understanding is, when we accept a report, we say, yes, thank you. When we adopt a report, am I wrong? If we adopt a report, we're saying, yes, this is what we're going to do.
Well, I think that, I mean, I really think that we can adopt this report without meaning that's the same as the budget vote. I think that signals an intention. I think that there's, in fact, that was when we set the target for Joe, it included this amount. When we said a maintenance of effort budget plus this, it was this amount, and then TCAT, right, an increase for TCAT, mm-hmm. and TC3 brought us to 4%, and that was our target for Joe for his budget deliberations. So this is not a new number. This is what we've talked about before. So, but I mean, I don't think your question is, does this bind us to voting for $100,000 increase in the budget,
and no more, no less? So,
we hear the question here.
One is, does it bind us to $100,000, no more, no less? And the other is, refresh my memory on what it means to not accept versus accept versus adopt. There were three levels of accept, doing something with reports. What were they? Yeah.
Well, adopt is a, you're expressing your commitment to implement the recommendations. It doesn't bind you, but it's a strong endorsement of the recommendations that are in there. Accept is really a thank you, we appreciate it, and you know, we'll consider that as time goes on. I can't remember I guess the third level would be reject.
Enact. Reject.
Reject.
Reject. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then the other question that I have is, you know, is this the right time to do that when we might be able to do more if we waited?
But the report's carefully worded,
yeah.
And it does say at least. It does say at least $100,000 a year in increased target contributions. Doesn't bind you to it. You control the power of the purse. But it does say at least $100,000. And again, since the only other source of county support would be our own reserves, that's really a fiscal decision that's really important. Do we draw down our reserves or do we build up our target commitment? And those kinds of discussions will have to happen during the budget and will.
Jim?
I think the word adopt sends a message to the community that this task force got together, they came up with it, and we agree that at least we have to do this over the next 3 or 4 years. The world could change between now and November, and nobody could predict where anything would go. I think the people who on the library board and the foundation have to get an indication from us that we agree and we are really committed to try to do something about it. With all due haste, and if we can afford to do it, and nothing drastic changes, so I would support adopting.
Leslie, then Peter.
Thank you. Carol actually voiced what I was asking my colleague Kathy between adopt and accept. So thank you, Carol, for being public. And I had a very similar reaction trying to remember what we did with the Living Wage report.
I haven't done anything yet. The request was to adopt it. That's the way we've written the resolution, is to adopt the report.
Thank you.
Peter?
Well, it's become clear to me that adopting this report is not the same thing as passing a resolution saying this is going to happen. But I think it's important to say that adopting this resolution says two things. One thing it says is that we intend to support the library at this level for another 2 years. It also says that we do not intend to support the library at this level forever. That there has to be, gives a message to the library staff, I think, that they have to figure out, the library administration, that they have to figure out how to turn themselves into a self-supporting institution with the help that we have been giving in the past. And that's the message that we're saying, I think.
All right. I just want it for the public to, I don't imagine the public can see this, but I thought this is an important graph in the report. The staffing levels since 2002, 50.4 FTEs in 2002, down to 41.8 in 2013. I think that's a 16% drop. Is that right? That's pretty stark, and I know that the use of the library has kind of gone up in the same way that the staff has gone down. So I think this is really important to do. Any other discussion? Ready to vote on Resolution M. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
That looks unanimous. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, many thanks to the group and to Susan and to your support staff as well.
And I'd just like to say thank you again. Thank you.
Well, keep doing what you're doing, Susan. It's great. Nancy, I'm so sorry. Nancy Olds, come on up to the to the desk, and let's see, we are resolution. Who's got the resolution?
I do.
Okay, Jim.
Resolution H, implementing Chapter 115 of the laws of 2013, which amended the tax law to allow Tompkins County to use the additional mortgage recording tax for mass transportation, and I would probably move that.
Seconded by Pam.
Let me just make one comment. We had a discussion of this at the last regularly scheduled budget meeting. The public showed up. People from the staff showed up. And I believe we walked away from that meeting with a positive feeling that this was something good that the county was doing, and it was certainly necessary for the continued good life of the TCAT operation. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Jim. Frank, then Brian.
Jim, in light of, I know a lot of us appreciated you letting us have some public time at the Budget Committee. It was well attended, as you said, and a number of people from the TCAT staff and some of us as directors were there as well. But I want to express my disappointment in that the committee did not allow Joe to do his PowerPoint, and I think we should allow him to do that tonight.
If I promise not to, will you vote for it?
I don't think you need to worry about it.
We were all pretty grateful that you didn't do it.
Ryan.
Frank, I'm glad you mentioned that public time, because I know how shy you are, and I was surprised you actually said something at that meeting. I am going to obviously support this. One burning question that I had was, we're talking about 0.25% on new mortgages, and I couldn't wrap my head around how are we going to get to $900,000 a year. And it just so happens that, I don't know if anybody else has caught it, but online with the Journal, they're now publishing sales for the week prior. And I was amazed at how many properties sell in a week in this county. And now I see it's an interesting little site if you want to get on there. But it's become clear to me how we get to $900,000 now.
Check back in February.
What's that?
Check back in February. This time of year is higher probably turnover.
Okay.
Dooley?
I asked to see a copy of the new subparagraph that was added to the law that allows this. And my reading of it, which is imperfect, it was difficult reading, did not limit it to mass transportation, as far as I could tell. If there were a number of things that we could be using this for. So the only objection I have to the wording of this is that it implies that it could only be used for mass transportation. That's in a whereas, line 15, 16. I think it allows for mass transportation, among other things. And I would move that change. The other one I would like to move is line 19.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, be clear, Dooley, where are you putting? What did you just move?
Which allows Tompkins.
What's the packet page, please?
23.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Dooley.
Well, I guess first I should ask Jonathan if I'm correct in having read that law. It allows the 0.25% to be used for things other than mass transportation. We're choosing to use it for that, and I'd like that to be made clear, if that's correct. That was one thing. I'm going to mention the other thing, which I don't think anyone will have an objection to, and that is to spell out what TCAT is in line 19. And finally, in line 31, the tax commissioner in its office, I think it should be his or her. Makes me uncomfortable to call him or her an it. So, Jonathan, did I read it right?
I believe the law says for mass transportation purposes.
Only?
I believe so. I mean, it doesn't have the word only, but it says...
Use a microphone, John.
Oh, sure. Joe has the... If he can read it. Joe could read it. He's got it open.
It's a brief reference, and it says, section so-and-so, the tax law is amended by adding a new paragraph, J-1, to read as follows. With respect to the county of Tompkins, to the county treasurer of such county for mass transportation purposes. Period.
Oh, for Tompkins County, yes, but the section of law that was added.
This is what was added.
In 2012, it was expanded, I thought, and 2013 is the one for us.
Yeah, the 2013 bill is the one that was passed for mass transit. Prior efforts to add a quarter point to the mortgage tax were for us, and it was broadly stated. This one, I'm reading it right here, Assembly Bill 6682. It is clearly restricted for mass transportation purposes.
Okay, so the copy that I got from the county attorney's office in general was not the same as that. Thank you.
The copy, you came to the county attorney's office and got a section from my staff of the law that was then in the book. This is yet to be added to that because it's brand new.
But this is to apply to our measure.
So when I asked for it, what I got was an older version.
What you got was the most recent version that you can get because this is not physically added yet. I mean, it's in this form, so it would be that plus this, but there's no version yet with this stuck in that.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to ask if the word his or her, I guess, is changed, and what was the other one, Dolly?
TCAT.
Just spell out
TCAT. I presume that's friendly.
I think the correct correction would be New York State Tax Commission at its office.
Yep.
That's what the organization is, the New York State Tax Commission.
You don't mail it to the commissioner.
Jim, is that friendly? I hope.
Well, I'm not sure what I'm befriending here. I agree with Mike. I think it should be that.
We're spelling out TCAT. We're taking line 31,
yeah, that's fine.
Commission, instead of commissioner.
Call it anything you want to.
And that's it.
Yeah.
John. If I can add, this language went both to the state tax department and to the controller,
It's
their language.
All right. Well, then, John, that would have cleared everything up had you said that earlier. So I'm not accepting any changes to this.
Are we in one of those situations where that we have to have this language and this is the language?
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. We did a draft. I submitted it to both the controller and to the state tax department. Mm-hmm. They each commented, and then they each commented on each other's comments. And then they gave us what is the final version, and I'd be disinclined to make too many changes. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Break anything you could assess commission.
I'm going to have to ask, can we have this withdrawn?
What?
Has this been moved, or can we avoid this? I think this is a problem if we've...
Because of the resolution...
What are you withdrawing, Martha?
What are you withdrawing?
Withdraw the changes. Dooley wanted...
They haven't been voted on.
She never got a second.
I know it's not been voted on. That's why I'm trying to avoid spending more time on language that the tax commission has... You know, the state has said, this is what you need to pass. And I'd like us to just pass it.
Yeah, you do. So let's vote down the amendment or withdraw.
I'd like to not consider it. Dooley?
I'd like to ask a separate question. Since what I suggested, I've had Jonathan explain that what I saw was not...
I'm sorry. Start again.
Is that my fault? There is a word, promote, which I wanted to ask about in line 19. The purpose is to promote the services. And that sounds to me like it's only going to be used for advertising. Can that possibly be what it means?
If they want to come down here and say, oh my God, you're using this for capital or for operating and you're not just advertising, let them do that. Okay, I think we can move on. Is there anything else? All right, Peter?
I don't know. I'd like to call a question on the original motion. Is that possible?
That's what's on the table. That's been, the question's been moved. Brian, are you seconding?
Yes.
All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Opposed? That passes 9-5.
Well, a question on the original motion.
It is on the original motion. There's been no amendment. That's what we've just done. It's time to vote on Resolution A, which has not been changed at all.
Resolution H, you mean?
H.
Can I ask for a roll call vote?
Sure. Okay. Roll call vote on Resolution H, as it has appeared in your packet.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Sadly, no.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsee?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
With 13 ayes, 1 no.
All right. Thank you very much. Nancy, thank you. And appreciate you being here. And I guess you didn't have to say anything anyway.
All I can say is thank you very much. It's a really exciting time speaking from TCAT staff for us. We've talked about little else and all the help of the county and Pam and Joe and everybody to help with this, getting this through. So it's exciting for us and it's exciting for the community to be able to be out there and provide the service in this community that people seem to love, and it's because of the ridership that tells us that. So thank you very, very much.
All right. Thank you so much. I really, editorial comments, please. We haven't even started committee reports. Is there something that has to be said?
I think this does.
Carol and then Pam.
Yeah, no, I just didn't want Mary to leave without a few of us, you know, beginning to say that this is important and that's why we supported it. It's why I voted against calling the question. You know, we hadn't had any discussion before just calling the question, and that doesn't make any sense to me when you've got somebody who sat through our whole meeting. So
I just want to
take a minute to enjoy that we did a lot of hard work to come to this moment, and we believe that TCAT is an important enough service in our community to have gone to the state to have made this happen, and I thank all of those who worked hard to make this happen and figure out how.
Pam?
All I would like to add is that we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to Barbara Lifton and Tom O'Mara, because they took this to the legislature and carried it through for us. Cornell's lobbyist got behind this and worked on, particularly on the governor, getting the governor to support this. The UAW, who represents the employees there, did their part. So this was a tremendous effort by our representatives, our elected representatives, and so I think I just wanted to acknowledge how important they were.
Thank you very much. All right, moving on. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank, you have Resolution A that was pulled off. Then we're not going to go. All right, let's just start with committee reports. Thank you, Nancy. Good evening. Pat Pryor, Broadband Committee.
Broadband Committee has not met. Work on build-out is going forward. I don't think it's going to be too much longer before, and by that I mean during the month of September. There are going to be people who are going to begin being able to be connected and getting a new service. And the committee stands ready at any point that we need to get back together again if issues arise that could use the benefit of some committee discussion. At this point, we are in, I guess you would call it a monitoring situation. I'm keeping in close contact with Chuck Bartosz at Clarity Connect, and we still keep our listserv going, and people are submitting comments and sending articles back and forth. There's still a lot of interest, so the committee is definitely still there. At this point, there doesn't appear to be a lot of reason for us to meet, so that's the status quo at this point. If we do need to meet during September or October, the budget meetings have preempted our regular meeting time, so I'm not quite sure what we'll do. Let's just hope that everything keeps going smoothly with the build-out, and maybe we won't have to meet. So I think that's it. Somebody has a question.
Thank you, Pat. Carol?
Yeah, where do we stand in making up the deficit or deciding how much of the county we can or can't cover?
I don't have exact figures for that, Carol. Perhaps that's something I could put together and come back with something more definitive for you at our next meeting. I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. Are we currently planning to, are they going to build out in Caroline and all of Enfield?
There are large parts of Caroline and Enfield that will be covered as a result of the reengineering that has been done. When we found out that those two towns were cut out, Chuck went back and reengineered what was going to be done to include as much of them as possible. And quite a bit of both of those towns will now be included. But I'd be happy to get more definitive information about that and come back and talk to you about it further next month or in 2 weeks.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Pat. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis.
We received the budget from the county administrator at the next regularly scheduled ledge meeting, and all of you have seen, I hope, our schedule that Kevin and others have worked on, and you know, we'll go on from there to begin to work on the 2014 budget.
Thank you. Will?
Yeah, Jim, I'm a little confused as to when the community budget forum is. I heard Thursday the...
Marsha Lynch can answer that question.
Sorry.
Come right there.
Yes, the community budget forum will be on Thursday, October 17th. I know there have been a couple of different dates and a couple of different descriptions on what that is. But it's Thursday, October 17th, here in this chamber, beginning at 7 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marsha.
All right, thank you. Anything else for Jim? Thank you very much. Public Safety Committee, Brian, have you anything else?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yes, actually. I said that the next meeting will be next Monday. As of right now, we have no discussion items, so you may be getting an email from Michelle saying that the meeting is canceled, and if we have something that comes up, may call for a meeting before the next ledge meeting.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you very much. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean, Claiborne Chair.
Thank you. The Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee has our diversity policy and accompanying resolution that is on its way to budget and GO, and hopefully will be before this body soon enough. We also want to report that we're in a process of applying for a community foundation grant to continue our reading and discussion group. Thanks to the county attorney and his staffer, Assistant Paula Younger, for making this happen. Thank you, Jonathan. And that's my report.
Thank you, Leslie. Any questions? All right. Very good. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health Committee will be meeting formally on the 10th, which is a week from today. There are a couple of items that I just want to mention to you. We had, obviously, earlier this evening, the presentation on the health exchanges, and I appreciated all the effort that some of you put into pulling that together. And, Martha, thanks for your help on that. More of that's coming. The meeting we had last Tuesday at the Health Department to review the community health planning process, you'll remember that Frank Krupa had distributed a survey some time ago, and it resulted in this community health assessment review to help set some priorities from the Health Department. I reviewed the five or six items that the state has identified should be the priorities by county. There was some discussion after the Board of Health meeting last week. A number of you were able to come to that discussion, and I appreciated that. There was some, not disagreement, but there were some misconceptions as to what that meeting would produce. And a lot of the outcome will be focused on mental health, and also that's at one end of the spectrum. That survived as the highest ranking priority that was identified as a health need, the whole area of mental health. And surprisingly enough, the other end of the spectrum dealt with substance abuse and HIV. It won't fall off the radar screen, but it didn't make the hit parade as one of the top three priorities. It still will be part of the assessment, but the clinical part will be the primary focus. It was a very good meeting. The jury is still out. There's a lot of data yet to come, and Frank has agreed that he will be distributing some more information. Will was there in two capacities, I think, not only as a committee member, but not only as a health committee member, but as a member of the Board of Health. And the item about that came up earlier tonight about primary care physicians did come up at that meeting. I'll try to keep you abreast of this. More of this is going to be probably discussed at the meeting next Tuesday because of this summary. Another item which we brought up at the last board, not the special board meeting, but the one just before that, was the impact of the potential closure of the psych centers, including Broome and the Elmira Psych Center. We've been working with Susan Romanchek at Mental Health to come up with a resolution. I have a draft of it with me tonight. Joe and Martha were involved in helping put this together. We amended it a little bit because we didn't want to forget that part of the closure includes the Elmira Psych Center. I had discussions with two of the people at CMC, community hospital, about the impact of that, of the closure. We're not going to go into chapter and verse tonight because the committee is going to have a discussion about this next week. But the impact is quite severe. The hospital has 26 beds. 20 of them are for adults, 6 of them are for youth. The concern, and you've heard this before, the concern is having to first find a bed for the individuals to get the service and then get them there. Well, we'd be competing with all the other counties in the state of New York that are going to have closures. And just to remind you, what Susan told us at the Health Committee meeting was the state is concentrating on retaining those psych centers along the thruway corridor. Syracuse, Utica, Albany, and one over in Buffalo, as far as I know. But the concern is, or was it Rochester? Excuse me, but that's incidental at this point. The concern is that the families having to travel there, plus identifying where you can find a bed for services. The other item are the staff retentions. According to Susan's information, they're talking about not trimming down any staff. Well, it's pretty hard to assume that if they're going to be closing actual facilities, that every other facility is going to be able to absorb any of these people, not just the professional staff, the docs and the nurses and those providers, but the maintenance staff. If you're closing a building down, you don't need too many more maintenance people to go to another facility because they already have maintenance staff. I talked with Chanelise DeMarco about this as well, and there's quite a bit of concern, and there needs to be a lot of advocacy with regard to this entire item. We hope to get some of the senators, particularly Tom O'Mara in Elmira and Tom Libous in Broome, to help us get this thing at least stopped so we can examine it. Many of the commissioners have not, the county level commissioners like Susan, haven't even been drawn into the discussion, and that's been a major concern. So from what I was told, the assembly has already taken a position that this was a bad idea, and we hope that the Senate may join them. At least we can delay this for a while. Stay tuned. This isn't over yet, and the impact is going to be pretty severe if it goes forward. Those of you that remember when they closed Willard, it created quite a bit of stir in the community. One item that came up earlier this evening was the discussion about adding the 7 beds at the jail and then the potential for adding 7 more. In talking with the folks at the Cuba Medical Center, they don't have to call on police services too often, but occasionally their psych center has a relatively violent person there, and they have to call on the police agency to help out, whether it's the city or the sheriff or the state troopers. They raise the concern about where do you get help for somebody that the police agency has to take into custody. And if there's no jail capacity, and providing that there's even service that an individual can get if they're incarcerated, are these people given an appearance ticket and just put on the street again? And that's a major concern. So when we were talking about long-term plans for the jail, I'd like to, food for thought, we may have to do what Martha was concerned about earlier, be thinking about more of a capacity than we have. Not that you want to see folks like this incarcerated, believe me. It'd be better to have them in one of the psych centers than it would be in one of the jails, because they can't possibly provide the kind of service that they need. I'll keep you posted. I'm sure Joe will and Martha will. We've been working again with Susan, and it's going to be an exciting and an interesting health committee meeting next week. I think I'll end there. If there's any, just to remind you again, it's the 10th, 3:30. Any questions, I'll try to answer them.
You have Resolution A?
I have Resolution A. Yes, I do. Resolution A, DOC ID 4300, increase pendant and machine replacement fees for the Personal Emergency Response System program. And I'll move it.
Second by Kathy Luce. Dooley?
I pulled it off after having had a rather in-depth discussion with Lisa Holmes today, because when I read the resolution, I could not understand why, if the reason for increasing these numbers, the fees, is to cover staff time and mileage for service calls. The two different numbers didn't go up by the same amount. One is for the pendants and one is for the machines. Initially, they cost certainly different amounts, but service calls should not cost different amounts. That's why I called Lisa initially. And after hearing much more in depth about this, I got even more puzzled, because the cost of the machines a while ago was one thing. The cost of them today is something else. But they aren't being increased in parallel ways. If the intention is to cover just the increased cost of the machines and the service calls, then the numbers should be different than they are here. And as I asked Lisa more questions, she said, well, nobody raised these questions on the advisory group or at HHS, and I don't have answers really for you. I asked her if it was important to move forward on this now, and she said, well, we'd need more machines. So I can either ask to have this withdrawn, which is not my inclination, especially at this hour when I'm really tired. I may wind up voting against it, although I absolutely support the machines. I think PERS is a wonderful service for our community. I know that one can get them through the county. There are also private providers. I prefer people to make use of our county service if that's possible. But I'm not prepared to make any changes to the resolution. I think it needs a more in-depth look. But I can understand if you want to go ahead and vote on it. I will vote no, not because I'm against the machines, but because I think the groundwork for raising the fees is less than clear.
Well, do we? I appreciate your bringing that up. The fact that they haven't had a change in the fees in 7 years, the department's been absorbing a lot of the change, a lot of the cost.
I know that.
The other part of this is, if you remember, about a year and a half or so ago, there was a major upgrade that was precipitated by the state. All of these machines had to be brought back in and reprogrammed.
I know that.
And we had to...
Frank, we're not hearing you. Frank, go closer.
You're not hearing me. Is that better?
Yeah.
But we had to upgrade the machines a year and a half or so ago at the state's request. What I can do, I would like to proceed with voting on this tonight. And we certainly can take it up again at the committee. There's nothing magic about bringing a fee increase or an adjustment later, if that's anybody else's desire also. But I think the department would appreciate having this go forward tonight, and then we can discuss it at the health committee meeting next week or next month, what your suggestion might be.
Kathy Luce.
Thank you. I just want to mention that I don't know how many of y'all around this table have been getting automated calls like I have for these PERS. They're not PERS, but they're PERS equivalent. At least that's what they say. But I want to warn people, because some of these are really scams. The most cost-effective one you can get here locally is through the county. And actually, I thought we touched on this discussion a little bit, in that we talked about the change in technology. And I think sometimes changes in technology, even though it's a very similar machine, some of the ways that they've had to do changes on it have, I think, affected the cost. And I appreciate Dooley's questions, but I don't see any harm in us going ahead with this. I don't think it's going to be any significant revelations about this. It's always good to have questions about it, but I don't think they will have a bearing on the outcome. And I'd really appreciate, for the sake of the folks that need more machines in Tompkins County and might go to these scam artists that are advertising on the telephone, I'd just like to say I hope we can get these soon.
Pat?
I'd just like to echo what both Frank and Kathy have said. And I see no reason not to go ahead with this tonight. There has been some discussion in the advisory committee, the COFA advisory committee, of which I'm a liaison, and I know folks, the use of these is very, very important in the community, and I would like to see our staff be able to have the resources they need to provide these for people.
All right, are we ready to vote?
One more comment.
Carol?
I just want people to be clear that this is not an increased charge to everybody. This is just when people are either, these are for lost, damaged, or unreturned units. So I don't see a need to have the price tied to the actual price. This is our fee for the inconvenience when people lose or damage and, or don't return their units. So I'm happy to just go ahead with this and not feel a need for a report back either.
Thank you.
Okay, ready to vote? Resolution A. Please raise your hand. Opposed? 13-1. 13-1, that passes.
May I ask Frank another question?
It's we've done. It's over. You can ask him after the meeting. It's off the table, and it's time to move on to facilities and infrastructure.
You should warn the people about voice over internet protocol as an unreliable source for these machines. Landlines are much better. They're more expensive, but that's an important public bit of information.
Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Peter, Peter Stein, Chair.
We had a meeting. We talked about transfers of highway fund balances, which were passed, and we'll have another meeting in this month on the 16th. I guess I have a resolution to.
That's right, B, packet page 8.
That's resolution B, ID 4333, budget adjustment to transfer from highway fund balance upstream Forest Home Bridge over Fall Creek, Town of Ithaca, and I'll move that.
Second by Pat. Dooley?
Well, I'm the bad guy again. I asked this to come off because as I read the resolution, and as I read the memo, and as I've heard about this at F&I, it's pretty clear that the project is likely to cost more than we thought it would. But whether or not we have to actually spend $85,000 more from reserve fund is less than clear. And the impression I got was that if the extra money was needed, then it would be transferred. But that's not how this resolution really reads. And I spoke with the county administrator early today. And by adding those magic words, if needed, to the resolve, it may take care of this concern. They could go either at the end of line 12, or they could go after the word that in line 11. Either one does it. But would you read it over and see if you have trouble with that? That's what I'd like to move. Did I get that right? It's so late.
You're on. I'm sorry. Would you say that again?
It's authorizing the Director of Finance to transfer money if it's needed, rather than to do it immediately, which is kind of the way it reads now.
All right. Is that friendly to?
Not to me. I don't see the problem with it.
Where
I think.
Where is it going, by the way?
Excuse me.
What line are you talking about?
At the end of line 12 is one place it could go.
I myself don't see the need for the change. It's from money that goes from one count to another. If it's not, then it remains in that count that it went
to. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there a discussion on that? Those two words. Pat?
I would oppose this change because I think when you start adding things like if needed, that raises all kinds of questions because it doesn't spell out who determines if it's needed. What does need mean? It just erases a lot of unnecessary issues that just don't need to be included here. I think this is simple. It's clear. I think it's fine the way it is.
Jim? Jim, were you raising
your hand? Oh, no. I was just pointing where the humming was coming from.
Oh, Dooley?
If you read the memo attached to the resolution, it says up to, which is a way of acknowledging that this amount is unlikely to be necessary. And since the county administrator saw no harm in clarifying it to say if needed, that's why I'm moving it.
And all right.
I'm all sorry that Peter and Pat think it complicates things. It reflects the memo.
Are we ready to vote on that change? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? That fails 4-10. You ready to vote on Resolution B? All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes 13-1. Peter, is that it for your report?
That's it for my report.
All right. Thank you very much. Economic Development Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The committee has not met since the last meeting, but we will meet a meeting this Thursday. And we will be hearing a report from Jean and Gary Ferguson on all the economic all the development projects that are currently happening. As you may have noticed, there's a lot of things in motion, both downtown and around. And we'll get an overview. We're also going to be hearing a report on something that I wasn't all familiar with, but there's a movement locally called a local living economy. And if those words don't mean anything to you, you should know that there are a lot of people really, really trying to envision a kind of a new way of getting our community to think about buying locally and the value that the enormous value to that. So come and hear about what's being done to promote that idea. We'll be hearing a report on the TCAD's work plan for the coming year, or basically they're going to be talking about the current week work plan and soliciting ideas. So if you feel that TCAD has not been doing some things you'd like to be doing, that'd be a good chance to talk about that. And finally, we'll be considering our activities for the remainder of the year. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Will. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
We'll meet again on September 11th at 3:30. We'll be talking more about our last project. That's the old library. We'd hoped to be able to have the appraisal done by that time, but it looks like the appraiser needs some more time because it's kind of a complicated building to be able to calculate the value of.
Kathy Lewis?
I just wanted to mention that there's been a lot of discussion on my neighborhood listserv and in door-to-door and in public about the disposition of the library. Can you just articulate what stage we're at right now in terms of what is due to happen and what next steps are?
We had to at least temporarily vacate the old library because of the damage from the rainstorm. And we have the day reporting folks in temporary quarters. We should be able to get them back into the building for a while. But that doesn't solve the problem of permanently moving them out, which we're trying to do with the Human Services Building addition. When we actually have them so that they can be gone, then we can decide what to do with that building. The decision will be made, hopefully, in this Capital Plan Review Committee. Are we going to demolish it? Are we going to deconstruct it? Are we going to try to sell it as is? Are we going to solicit various kinds of proposals for the use of the building or the site? All of those things are on the table at this point. and no decision has been made. There's always been, over the years, lots of community interest in that facility, for particularly not-for-profits, if the county would pay for it. But the question is, how can we take the burden off the county in some way?
Can I just ask a follow-up? Is there any possibility, lots of people have asked if there could be, before the Capital Plan Review Committee makes a decision or moves forward further on the decision path, an opportunity for a public forum, particularly downtown residents, but really people from all over the community are really interested in that space because of the location is inspiring for a lot of people and a lot of reasons. It would be great to be able to have a community discussion about this, and I know that's one of the persistent questions and comments that I get, that I'd love it if the Capital Plan Review Committee would consider having such an event for people to attend, especially before you get further down the decision road. There are so many possibilities, and many of them are just being floated around privately, but maybe this would give some encouragement to some of those possibilities to be brought forward to a larger audience.
Be happy to bring it up as a discussion item in the committee.
Thank you.
Leslin? So this is just a feel-good moment at 9:42 at night. Speaking of the old library, I do want to say a quick thank you to Jay Stokes and friends who have continued to paint, to beautify that place. It's not so much of an eyesore. So if you haven't seen some of the new paintings, it's very vibrant. It's awesome. It just makes it, you know, less of a, yeah. So thank you, Jay, and painting friends.
I'll be sorry to see it go.
Yeah, that's all right. They're used to it. They'll paint someplace else.
If we deconstruct it, Peter, maybe that wall could go up to your backyard.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. Government Operations Committee, Pat Pryor.
Yes, before I say anything about my report, I'd like to go to packet page 19, if I could. Resolution G was pulled from the consent agenda. This is ID 4298, adopting revisions to policy 0307, moving expenses reimbursement. I would like to point out, and I'm not sure if this is why Dooley asked to pull it, but this is why I asked to have it pulled, that in the accompanying policy, which is, and if you could look at packet page 23, the second resolve from the end. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Looking at the wrong place here. Hold on. Packet page 20. Under number 3, procedure number 2.
We're getting a funny feedback from the microphone.
Oh.
Just got it.
Okay. Number 2 in the second line. It says $3,000 and will be paid only to. In committee, we changed that word two to four. Will be paid only for conventional carriers. So if you could just make that change in your copy, please. There's no actual change needed, as far as I know, to the resolution itself. So can't remember, did I move it or not? I'll move it.
Yeah. Okay. Moved by Pat, seconded by Peter. So with that change, which just came through committee. Okay. Any other discussion on Resolution G? Dooley, you pulled it?
I pulled it to correct that mistake also.
Okay. Any other discussion? Ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution G, please raise your hands.
Aye.
That's unanimous.
At our committee meeting on August 27th, we had a presentation from Joe on the report from the Living Wage Work Group. It was a very complete and report, I would say, on a very complex issue. And we did have some time for discussion of the report after it was presented. That was the primary thing that we focused on at our meeting that day. We did not take any action on the report after it was given. We went on to the other parts of the meeting. the suggestion has been made by a couple of people on the committee, and I think this is probably the direction that we'll be going with this, will be to accept the report and then decide based on that whether we want to bring forward a resolution or where we want to go from there. So it was a very good preliminary discussion on that. There was one other thing I was going to mention, and that was we held our meeting here in this room, and rather than using the table over there, we used these chairs simply because we had anticipated that there might be a large group of people here because of the living wage discussion. As it turned out, there was not a large group, but at the end of the meeting, we had a few informal comments made about how people felt about meeting here, and I think all of us were pretty pleasantly surprised and that we all seemed to feel that this worked pretty well for a committee meeting. It was nice to have the use of the microphones. There were a couple of suggestions made about how we might arrange ourselves and sit around here if we did it for a committee meeting, but I would just like to seriously suggest that if some of the rest of you have need for a meeting where you might be expecting people, especially, that this space works very well for something like that. So just wanted to let you know that. Our next meeting will be on September 24th at 10 o'clock.
Thank you very much, Pat. Any questions? I guess that raises the question of, are we by default meeting at the old jail still, or is it being decided on a committee by committee basis? And
yes. Committee by committee.
Committee by committee. Okay. All right. So make sure you look at the top part of your agenda in case you're not sure. Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
We are scheduled to meet tomorrow, September 4th, 3:30 to 5 p.m. At the old jail. And on our agenda are the Biggs Building and the program formerly known as JARC and JARC-like projects. Among other things. Those are highlights.
Okay, thank you. Leslie.
Carl, may I ask what's the agenda item on the Biggs Building? Is that a discussion item? Is it a resolution? What is it?
There are three resolutions that all have to do. The first one would determine that the property is no longer needed for public use. The second one would be a negative declaration, making a negative declaration of environmental significance. And the third would be authorizing the sale.
Thank you.
If the committee chooses to vote tomorrow, it is on our agenda.
Thank you. I happened to be at a meeting in West Hill, and there was a lot of concern expressed about what's happening with the building and what's going in there. So I just wanted to know what's on the agenda.
Okay. So our planning department held two public meetings up there. So we,
still a lot of concern.
All right. Anything else for Carol? Thank you, Carol. Can I get a motion on the minutes of August for August 20th, please? Moved by Brian, second by Frank. Discussion. All in favor, please raise your hands.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes with two opposed. I would like to ask for a motion to go into executive session. To discuss a personnel matter, we will not take any act. I do not expect us to take any action after the meeting, after executive session.
Is this with respect to a particular person?
We'll discuss that in this session. It's a personnel matter. What?
Can we say that we can only be in executive session for 5 minutes?
We can say it. That's up to you. So moved by Jim, seconded by Brian. All in favor? Any opposed? All right, that carries. We will take 5 minutes to close down the microphones, and then please be in your seats again. Thank you very much.